When you think of separatism in Canada, you probably first think of Quebec, right? I mean, the province held two independence referendums, and while the movement has quieted down in Quebec, it's now being talked about somewhere else. Heard of Wexit?
The term Wexit, the Western Canadian spin on Brexit and Alberta separation, trending online across the country hours after election results.
Separatist signs now replacing election signs as the movement to leave the rest of Canada picking up steam as the Liberals win a minority.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous sounding word, short for Western exit, but it is quickly gaining popularity, especially in Alberta. Western alienation is a real sentiment. It's no surprise that the oil-dependent province is mad at the federal government. But is separating from the rest of the country really the answer? How would that even work with a landlocked province? And how does Justin Trudeau fix this? Can he fix this? I'm Claire Broussard, in for Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Jason Markusoff is the Alberta correspondent for Maclean's. He joins us to explain just what is going on. Hey, Jason.
Hello from the West.
So, Wexit is a bit of a ridiculous name, but separatism isn't new to Albertan politics. So where did this resurgence come from, and why is it gaining popularity now?
Western separatism has always been something that's been either on the back burner or the fringy front burner in Alberta since, let's say, the 80s, back when the first Trudeau was prime minister and the National Energy Program was something he put in place to kind of nationalize a lot of the oil sector and to overhaul how oil is priced and controlled in Canada to the detriment of the of Alberta and other oil-producing areas. A separatist movement rose out of the frustration with that, and it did well enough that a party that had formed, the Western Canada Concept, actually won a seat in Alberta, rural seat in a by-election in 1982, and that sent shockwaves through the nation. This was a couple of years after Quebec separatism had its first referendum in 1980. So that was pretty jolting. It didn't last long. The Western Canada Concept ran in the election that same year in 82 and lost all their seats. They sort of existed off and on for a while, but kind of folded once the Reform Party rose in the late 80s and 90s with Preston Manning's rallying cry, "The West wants in." The West is fewer and fewer people have actually wanted out since then. But we saw the separatism back burner get a bit hotter in the last couple years with the recession, the hard times that the oil patch and the whole Alberta economy has faced with the lower prices of oil, with the lack of pipelines to sell the product.
Right.
That we're producing here. There have been a bunch of weird sundry names, but Wexit is the new one, obviously taking its name from Brexit. And the organization is kind of loose, but it's something worth watching, certainly.
What would Alberta separating from Canada actually look like for Alberta and for the rest of Canada?
It would look utterly strange and weird. Jason Kenney, who's very much a federalist, and, word is he wants to become prime minister still one day.
Mm-hmm.
One of his major criticisms of the whole separatist movement is that if our biggest beef is pipelines, if Alberta becomes a separate country, it's a landlocked country. And there's
right.
some nutty theories that international convention means that we'd have the right of way. We would get right of way as a courtesy from our neighboring country, Canada. But that's, from the legal stuff I've read, that's not exactly the case. Alberta would be a landlocked country, which would have to form its own banking system, military system, foreign affairs policy. It would have to reconcile with part of the federal debt. It's part of the Canada Pension Plan. Do so many different things. And, the occasional person who's serious about Wexit is talking about this, but, I joined out of curiosity the VoteWexit.com Facebook group, which before the election had a few tens of thousands of
members and now has 250,000
wow.
members. So there's definitely interest in something, be it gawkers like me or real people who are just incensed about the way things are in Canada. You see the occasional chatter about, hey, what happens to the Canada pension plan or what happens to debt
yeah.
or how do we get this or that. But there's a little bit of logistical discussion and a whole lot of just open hostility towards the Trudeau government, toward the media, toward environmentalists, and a bunch of other people. It's really, it seems like it's less of a cogent movement right now and more a vehicle for people's frustration.
Mm. So we have a minority government right now. Does Justin Trudeau working with other parties make things better or worse for the movement?
It was sort of the nightmare scenario, this
really?
Result, for a lot of, in a way, it ostensibly was. The people out here in Alberta, this is maybe more of an establishment view than a Wexiteer disalienated view, was that at least, you know, if the Conservatives had to lose to the Liberals, let it at least be a majority, because the Liberals are at least, you know, in favor of the Trans Mountain Pipeline, and they don't have as much of an agenda toward shutting, you know, taking a more swift phase out of the oil sands and the oil sector,
right?
As the NDP and Green Party do. And if they're, you know, if they're forced to work with those parties on a regular basis, then they might even become more anti-oil in the minds of the frustrated people here in Alberta and in other parts of the West. The actual result doesn't, you know, gives the Liberal Party a big enough plurality that they aren't going to be beholden constantly to any one party, be it the Bloc Québécois or the NDP. They'll be probably using the Conservatives for a lot of votes
yeah.
if it comes down to that. But certainly the fact that Justin Trudeau is the prime minister still is a major source of frustration.
I'm curious, where do other Western provinces stand on this?
As it was in the 80s, Alberta is sort of the epicenter for this sentiment, as it is the epicenter for the resource economy.
Right.
But, you know, look at the results in Saskatchewan. They, you know, in fact, Alberta at least has elected one NDP member. It's one orange dot in Edmonton mm. by the university in a sea of blue. In Saskatchewan, where there were a number of NDPs elected last time and one Liberal, Ralph Goodale, everything is blue, including Ralph Goodale's seat after, if memory serves, 19 million re-election bids for him.
Mm.
So there's a lot of anger there. Is there that same separatist movement with the intensity in Saskatchewan? It's hard to tell. Saskatchewan does have more of a tradition of voting NDP and voting in progressives. I think this is the first time in modern history that Saskatchewan has been all conservative in the way it's voted. But now they've really become much more like Alberta's political movement. There are some, you know, there is some of the contagion of the Alberta separatists, the Alberta alienation in British Columbia, after all.
Right.
A lot of the BC interior and northern BC was also a fertile home for the Reform Party and Alliance Party, the Western-based movements back in the late 80s and through the 90s, and a little bit of Manitoba too. But I'd really say this is a, you know, as far as separatism is a movement, and I don't know if I call it a movement just yet, it's a something. I don't know if it's a proper organized movement just yet.
It's something.
But the energy of it is largely headquartered in Alberta, and then in Saskatchewan, and then it sort of dissipates beyond those mm. borders.
So you mentioned Quebec earlier, and I think that's what a lot of people think about when we talk about separatism because of that province's own push for independence. But how is this movement different? Is it bigger? Is it smaller?
I guess, I mean, right now, I think the polls show that, you know, that people are more keen to vote yes for separatism in Alberta right now than they are in Quebec, which is, you know, historically remarkable given where things were back in the 80s, given where things, you know, have been historically. Yeah. Part of that is that the separatism appetite, after so many years of it being an intense issue and it being a major defining issue of their politics, people are fed up with in Quebec. And there's been a more thorough hashing out of the consequences of it. Whereas in Alberta, it's not an issue that people seem to really be taking soberly and seriously, either on those who support it or those who naysay it. You know, I think people tend to swat down or trump up the arguments pretty swiftly by and large.
And I guess they're about different issues as well, right? Quebec was mostly a cultural thing.
Quebec's separatism movement is much more like every other separatism movement we've seen in the world, like the Catalonians and Basques in Spain, like the Tamils in Sri Lanka, like the movements in various parts of Africa, like South Sudan and other East Timor. It's an ethno-cultural disenchantment.
Right.
Alberta, Western separatism has always been rare in that it's almost a purely political, political cultural one, not based around a certain language or ethnic cultural identity. It's more of a political, economic identity.
So ahead of the election, we talked to people from across the country, and we really did feel that anger that came from Western Canada, which you touched on before. Tell me about that anger, where it comes from, and why it should not be taken lightly.
It starts at an economic place. If Alberta was booming right now, I don't think this would be a major issue. But Alberta is used to the boom, and we haven't been. There was a big recession had roots in 2014. Alberta was in recession 2015, 2016, as the oil prices dropped, coinciding with the Liberals and the NDP getting into office in federally and provincially and making certain decisions that the business community didn't like here. And people in Alberta have grown used to dips and then the economy coming back.
Right.
But there's a certain sense that that is not happening. I mean, the facts on the ground say that's not happening. Jobs haven't roared back. Alberta still has one of the highest unemployment rates in Canada, which is not a place Alberta's used to. The wages are down. People are not, you know, there's not this idea anymore. It's pretty much dead, this idea that you can come from anywhere else in Canada, come to Alberta and get a great job on the rigs or in the oil sands or in Fort McMurray. Those things are gone. At the same time, there is a rising movement against the pipelines, against the way the conduits through which Alberta transports its big moneymaker, its oil. And that didn't happen a decade ago. That didn't happen in Canada's history, where there was such a movement against pipelines and
right.
this pressure of climate change and assertion of Indigenous rights. So there's this a series of cascading things. And then you have some of the legislation gets picked up a lot that the Trudeau government put in, a ban on tankers up the northern coast of northern BC west. What BC coast, or his overhaul of how energy projects are regulated and approved, which a lot of some industry and mostly Jason Kenney and conservative politicians have called the No New Pipelines Act, and there, you know, Trudeau has a family legacy of ticking off Albertans in the West, and some of the things that he's said and some of the ways he's acted have played into that. There was a moment a few years ago where he, in sort of a slip-up, said, we have to phase out the oil sands. I don't want to shut it down immediately, but we do have to phase out the oil sands, he said in a town hall.
Oh, yeah.
He quickly apologized for that, but the way people bring it up here in Alberta and other places, you'd think he's said it every day for the last 5 years. And then there was the election. The election actually inflamed some of this as well, in trying to get some votes in Quebec mostly. Trudeau has made some of the same comments that he wasn't saying when he visits Alberta, talking about how Andrew Scheer's cozying up to the oil companies and the oil barons, echoing François Legault's, the Quebec Premier's line that there is no social acceptability for oil in Alberta. In Quebec. Those comments anew have reignited people's inherent tendency to disdain Justin Trudeau. The Trans Mountain Pipeline, which Justin Trudeau bought as a government, has not been built. There are still potential legal pratfalls for it. There's always a lingering fear, somewhat conspiratorial out here, that he bought it just to shut it down. I think in the various things that Trudeau can do to satisfy or at least not further inflame the West in Alberta is to keep going on that pipeline. It's sort of the red line. I think if that falls by the wayside, then a serious movement could form. There we could see some more prominent politicians, maybe some business leaders, jump on board and really push for an exit, as messy as that would be.
So you think that's the big thing, the pipeline? That's what Trudeau really needs to stick with to soothe the resentment?
It's the baseline. If it gets built, if oil starts flowing, if that helps ease some of the economic tensions, that will certainly soothe a lot of the frustration out mm-hmm. here. If the economy comes back through whatever means, that will make people a lot happier. If there's more investment, if people are confident to open up, start new ventures, start new oil sands projects, get drilling again, get people back employed, that will certainly help. But in this immediate aftermath of the election, people in a lot of parts of the province, people are just depressed and thinking that because Trudeau got reelected and because he somewhat depended on other progressive parties, that this is going to keep going downhill and faster.
So I feel like we're still recovering from the election we just had. Do you think all this talk of separatism will die down in the coming months, or do you think that anger will persist and maybe actually turn into something?
I really don't know where this is going. People ask me what's going to happen with the separatist movement, and I say, let's give it a couple weeks. This is, the dust is still settling from the election. Mm-hmm. We don't know. I mean, I think, Andrew, the leader of the federal conservative movement, it seems like it's up in the air at this point. How Jason Kenney is going to respond to this is still forming. He's made some demands on the equalization program, on carbon policy, on some of the oil legislation and pipelines. And he's also proposed a panel of experts on federalism, on strengthening Alberta's place in Confederation. They're going to form in the coming days, and they're going to be holding town halls around the province. They'll be interesting to watch what shape those take, what the tone is from there. Are people just venting out of frustration, or are they proposing concrete solutions to how Alberta can find its place in Confederation? Are they getting lost down the equalization rabbit hole and misrepresenting the program, as which is so often here? I mean, there is a caricature formed in Alberta that there's just this giant money funnel that they put to the Saskatchewan border, and a whole bunch of money Alberta government sends goes right to Quebec. Of course, it doesn't work that way, but there is that is certainly the mythology here. So it'll be interesting to hear the tone and tenor of those panels. As of now, the best metric is we have a lot more Facebook followers of a Facebook group. I don't know if that's a serious indicator of a whole lot. We also have to watch seriously what happens with Justin Trudeau. Does he take any concrete steps that satisfy the frustrations of Albertans, or does he inflame things further?
All right, well, we will see. Thank you, Jason.
My pleasure.
Jason Markusoff is the Alberta correspondent for Maclean's. And that was The Big Story. For more from us, head to thebigstorypodcast.ca or chat with us on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN. And while I have you here, please go check out our new show. It's called The Gravy Train. It's all about the life and legacy of former Toronto Mayor Rob Ford. The first two episodes are out today, and you can find them at thegravytrainpodcast.com or at frequencypodcastnetwork.ca. Thanks for listening. And if you like this episode or any of the Big Story episodes, please let us know with a 5-star review. I'm Claire Broussard. Jordan will be back tomorrow. Talk to you then.